Hello and welcome to this British Journal of Surgery podcast. I'm Wendy Barnaby and today we'll be hearing about a BJS special issue on trauma. Warfare, natural disasters, terrorism, street violence and traffic accidents. All these cause serious injuries. Most British surgeons don't see much trauma, unlike many of their colleagues in the developing world. But the interest in this issue of the BJS has been enormous, and only 10% of the papers submitted for it have been able to be included. Our first speaker today is Professor Kjetil Soreide from the Department of Surgery at Stavanger University Hospital in Norway. Kjetil took special responsibility for the issue, along with guest editor Karim Brohi, Professor of Trauma Sciences at Barts and the London School of Medicine and Dentistry in London. As well as Kjetil, we'll hear from BJS editor Professor Des Winter, colorectal surgeon at St. Vincent's University Hospital in Dublin, and from Olaf Schoten at the Erasmus Medical Center in Rotterdam in the Netherlands. Now, so Kjetil, let's start with you first of all. Can you tell us how trauma care differs around the world?
Well, first of all, I think the trauma care differs in the way surgeons or physicians see trauma or injure patients, because the spectrum of injuries are different around the globe. Some areas may see a large amount of penetrating trauma caused by gunshots or knife stabs, whereas other parts of the world, trauma or injury may be less frequent or caused simply by blunt mechanisms such as falls or road traffic accidents. Except for that, of course, the trauma systems may differ considerably around the globe, and also the training in terms of physicians and surgeons, what they learn and what they perceive as important for trauma care in their region.
Well, just thinking about that, your editorial mentions what you call the trauma chain of survival. Could you tell us what you mean by that?
Yes, the concept of the trauma chain of survival is that the outcome of the specific trauma patient heavily relies on a sufficient care throughout the chain of survival. The chain is pictured by a decent or sufficient pre-hospital care phase, also being managed or treated in the early resuscitation phase. It's important to have timely and early surgical care, and if the chain of trauma care is not maintained throughout all different chain or links throughout the management plan, patients will suffer. So in building a trauma system, it is important to envision the trauma chain of survival to achieve outcomes for the trauma patient.
And would you think that different areas of the world need to strengthen different ones of these links?
Absolutely. I think the way trauma care is being performed now in various regions of the world, the systems or the lack of systems will have some of the links placed in their system, but the appropriate connections between each link in the chain may have to be systematically improved in order to take advantage of the trauma chain of survival, so to speak.
There does seem to be this huge difference between rich areas of the world and poor areas of the world as far as trauma care is concerned and how much trauma the surgeons see. I mean, could you generalize and say that in the rich countries there are certain weak links and in the poorer countries there are certain other weak links?
Absolutely, I think so. And this, of course, stems from the lack of resources, obviously. But also among developed or rich countries, there are also huge differences in the way that the trauma system is being built or how trauma care is being delivered to the public.
There are various difficulties, aren't there, in doing research into the management of trauma. Could you tell us about some of those problems?
Yes, obviously, some of the obstacles will be the acute nature of injuries and trauma per se, which requires early and rapid intervention, which does not allow for planning of including patients. It may, of course, be that ethical considerations such as patient consent is not doable or manageable in the same way as for other types of clinical research.
And that it does seem that there's too much observation and too few randomized clinical trials.
Absolutely. The same obstacles that I just mentioned have prevented in the past a lot of what one can say high-level scientific evidence from being obtained through randomized clinical trials. But this is now to some degree changing, and fortunately we also see some of those results being published now in this the BGS trauma issue.
What do you think the take-home message for surgeons then is from this special issue?
I do believe that the overall message should be the focus on trauma and trauma care in particular. I hope that the readers will see focus on bedside work being performed, learning of basic mechanisms that can come into immediate clinical management in the next future years. And although the trauma issue per se does not cover the whole trauma chain of survival, it addresses various areas of improvement that will definitely benefit the injured patients in the future.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Shekil. Let's turn to BJS editor Des Winter. Des, as a general and colorectal surgeon, which of the articles in this issue did you find most helpful for your practice?
Well, I think it's all helpful because all of us are general surgeons who deal with trauma on an on-call basis. I think the articles that I was particularly interested in were the ones which were rooted in the day-to-day practice that we have. The one I found particularly interesting was on selective non-operative management of penetrating abdominal injuries, which came from a North American National Trauma Database. It was written by Nabil Zafar and colleagues, and it was a fascinating joint approach from the Aga Khan University in Karachi in Pakistan, as well as the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine in Baltimore, Maryland, which would have included David Efron and such colleagues.
Why did you find it so interesting?
Yeah, well, this type of research, of course, is difficult to come across. It stems from an enormous database which spans several million patients which are inserted into a trauma database over a long period. They particularly looked at a short period of time, perhaps 6 years between 2002 and 2008, and managed to come up with a large number of patients in whom non-operative management, that is conservative management, was applied to either gunshot or stab injuries. For those of us who come from parts of the world where we rarely see such volume of injuries, it's terrific to be able to glean the type of information you can get from this type of large database analysis, because at least in my institution, we would see perhaps one or two of these types of penetrating injuries per year.
And presumably, if you were able to participate in a larger network of researchers looking at trauma, this sort of knowledge would be made available to you more regularly.
Oh, absolutely. And the ability of the Americans to participate like this into a large trauma registry, of course, is something that can be emulated in other countries and in other parts. It really does demonstrate that you really do need to have a large number of Class 1 or Class 2 trauma centers. And while there are many of those scattered across Europe, each country as an individual probably would have challenging times in terms of coming up with this type of information. So I really do think this is a step towards the globalization of information and globalization of databases.
And is that the impression you're left with from this issue, that the future of trauma management will happen on this global sort of scale?
Oh, I have absolutely no doubt. And I think there are other articles in this particular section of the BJS which highlight that. It's a particularly interesting one from South Africa on pancreatic injuries, and really I think they've managed to accumulate an enormous number of pancreatic injuries, and again this is something that most of us will only see once or twice in our entire career. So the ability to participate in that in terms of adding patients, but also as a mining exercise for those of us who wish to inquire of a database like that, it really is a terrific resource. So I've no doubt that that is going to be the case. I've no doubt that we are going to see a globalization of trauma pathways and a continuation of what has already begun with ATLS and other such programs.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Des. I want to turn to Dr. Olaf Schouten from the Erasmus Medical Center in Rotterdam. Olaf, you've been an editor assistant at the BJS. What does that mean exactly?
Yes. Well, the position of an editor assistant is actually quite a wonderful position at BJS, giving young surgeons or surgeons in training like myself the opportunity to spend 1 year at the British Journal of Surgery. And it means that the assistants get the opportunity to experience some of the ins and outs of what goes on in a high-ranked journal like the British Journal. It means being at the monthly editors meeting in London, where you get a really good impression of what the role in running a journal like this means. And it also means that you can increase the experience of reviewing and helping to improve manuscripts of others, etc. And I must say, so far, it's been a very interesting 6 months, and also very importantly, a very pleasurable experience so far.
Well, now, thinking about this particular issue, what do you think might interest trainee surgeons particularly?
Well, trainee surgeons obviously are quite often engaged in the first evaluation of injured patients when they come into the emergency department, being it either simple trauma or multi-trauma patients. And quite a lot of surgical procedures during the training consist of trauma procedures. Obviously, the basic practical skills cannot be learned by articles like this, but I think it's important that trainees should be keen on new developments in trauma research, and it puts different aspects of trauma care and research into perspective. I also believe that surgeons in training might get more interested in doing trauma-related research when it is noted that a high-ranked journal like the British Journal devotes an entire special issue to trauma-related research. And I think that's also a very important message from the British Journal.
What articles did you particularly find interesting?
As a surgical trainee, I personally did find articles that are directly related to trauma clinical practice most interesting. But on the other hand, there was also a very nice article by Dr. Polinder from the Netherlands, who did some research on the epidemiological burden of injury. And what they found actually is that it was quite a staggering 8.8% of the entire population of the Netherlands will visit the emergency department annually. In a country as small as the Netherlands with only 16 million people, this means that 645,000 people will visit an emergency department because of injury. And I think it's a strong indicator of the importance of and need for trauma research. And I think if the burden of disease is as high as shown in this article, then research to identify the best treatment options of these patients should be having a high priority.
Well, thank you very much to all our participants, and thank you very much for listening. We hope you'll join us again.